All right, well, good morning. It's a pleasure to be with you guys this morning. I'm going to preach down here if that's okay, just because I don't like hiding behind that podium. You guys know that by now. If you are curious or just don't know what you should say after the sermon, I'm going to give you some things not to say. Can I do that? Okay, here are some things that you just don't say to the pastor after the sermon, okay? These are top 10 things you don't say to the pastor right after the sermon. This is just for your education, for future reference, okay? Number 10, are we ever going to be done with this sermon series? Don't say that. Number 9, let me tell you what you missed in your sermon this morning. Don't say that. Number 8, I wish you wouldn't have preached from the Old Testament. Don't say that, because then you'll get a whole sermon series in the Old Testament, okay? I don't know why people would be against that anyways. Number 7, your subject-verb agreement was incorrect 3 times in your sermon. Don't critique the pastor like that. Give him some grace there. Number 6, I'm sorry I fell asleep while you were preaching. Your voice just puts me to sleep. Don't admit that you fell asleep in the sermon, if you did indeed fall asleep in the sermon. Number 5, you act like you weren't feeling well when you preached. Now, that's a lot like asking a non-pregnant woman how far along she is, right? Those are some things that you just do not do. Number 4, I wish blank would have heard that sermon. Don't say that, because the pastor's thinking, I wish you would have heard that sermon, right? Number 3, my former pastor preached a much better sermon from that text. Please, don't say that. Number 2, you must not have had much time to prepare this week. Don't say that. Again, that kind of goes with the whole non-pregnant woman thing. And then lastly, number 1, I'm going to be late for lunch because you preach so long. Don't say that. Now, I'll guarantee you this morning that I'm not going to preach long, okay? But now that you know what not to say, we can move on with our message. And this morning is my official last day to be your student pastor. And so I just want to take just a moment to thank you guys as a church for allowing me to serve with you these past 3 years. I don't take lightly the fact that you took care of my family and you provided for my family financially as well as prayer support and other things during these last 3 years for me to serve here. I also don't take lightly the fact that you gave me a platform to have influence in Grandview. I've always taken seriously the influence, both positive and negative, that we have whenever we are given such platforms. And so because of that, I just want to say thank you. And on behalf of my family, I want to say thank you. As a church, you have helped me to learn how to love and how to be loved. I know how to love, but I've learned more how to love because I've learned how to be loved. You know, there was a book that I read recently. It's called Dangerous Calling, and it's about the pastor's calling. And one of the things that he says in that book is that God has designed the church to be his arms and his hands for people. And that includes the pastor. That includes the ministers. That includes you and me. And so whenever I was reading that, he challenged, and he was a pastor, and he said, it took me many years to learn this, but I had to learn to allow the church to love me. I had to learn to let the church serve me. So on behalf of my family, I thank you for teaching me how to love and how to be loved, for teaching me how to serve and how to be served. That was tough. I could serve, but you equipped me to be better at my service, number 1. But then number 2, you taught me how to allow you to serve me. You see, because a lot of times in this position, and Corey and Bill and Kathy know this, we tend to get so focused on serving that we forget to allow the church to serve us. We're people too. I didn't know if you knew that, but we're people too, right? And then lastly, you taught me how to forgive and how to be forgiven. Sometimes we have to remember that we too need forgiveness. And whenever we are forgiven and we recognize that we need forgiveness, then we are more likely to forgive. The whole saying goes, forgiven people, forgive people, right? And so you guys have taught me all of those things. And so this morning I want to leave you with a final greeting, a kind of last words, if you will. The Apostle Paul would always do this with every letter that he wrote to all the churches that he wrote to. In all the letters that he wrote to the churches, he would always have a final warning, instruction, or a greeting. He then would say something like, "The grace of our Lord Jesus be with you." So I figured that if Paul thought it necessary to give a final greeting to every church that he served, I figured that I should probably do the same thing. So my final greeting to you this morning is really our sermon in a sentence. And this is how it goes. We are in a new beginning, but that's okay because God created new beginnings. Amen? We are in a new beginning, but that's okay because God created new beginnings. Now, I want you to finish this statement for me. Finish this statement. In the beginning, God. There you go. In the beginning, God. And that's really the verse that we're going to start out with this morning, but we're going to look at a lot of verses. But in the beginning, Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. In the beginning, God. If we could just wrap our minds around the fact that in the beginning, God, He was there in the beginning, He started everything, He created everything, then life would make much more sense. We could trust that God is in control in the times that it seems like He's not. We could trust that He could indeed move mountains when we needed Him to. We could look at the miracles of the Bible and not have any issues with believing them, because it only makes sense that the creation would obey the one who created it. In the beginning, God makes all the sense in the world. And we find ourselves in a new season today. Starting today, we are about to enter into a new season of life and a new season of ministry. We are in a new beginning, but that's okay because God created new beginnings, and in fact, God loves new beginnings. Let me read to you some passages that confirm the statement that God loves new beginnings. But first, before we do that, just so that we can all be on the same page as to where this is in the authority of our lives, we're going to raise it up over our heads, and we're going to repeat our Bible creed together. It's not on the screen, but if you'll just repeat out loud after me, this is my Bible. There are many like it, but this one is mine. I will read it. I will study it. I will live it out. I will not let my opinions tell me what my Bible means. Instead, I will let my Bible tell me what my opinions should be. Okay, so we're going to let our Bibles tell us what our opinions should be. Now, my scripture's on the screen here just for my organizational purposes, but you can look in the Bible, and I encourage you to write these references down to read them later. But the first reference is Genesis 1:1. We just talked about it. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. God is a God of new beginnings. He is the one who created new beginnings, and so we should not be afraid of new beginnings, and we should not be discouraged for new beginnings. The next scripture is Jeremiah 29:11. Now, it doesn't necessarily talk about new beginnings, but it gives us some insights on where we're going to be going for the rest of this message. Jeremiah 29:11 says this, "For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope." Did you hear that? He says to give you a future, not a past. God is in the business of not giving you a past. God is in the business of giving you a future. God is in the business of new beginnings. We're in a new beginning, but that's okay because God is a God of new beginnings. And the truth is this. This is what new beginnings will do for you, and this is what new beginnings will do for me. New beginnings will always force us to look forward. Number one, it will always force us to look forward. And then new beginnings will always force us to stop looking back. Because God is not a God of the past, He's a God of the future. You with me? And so here's the truth. Well, think about this. When you walk into a room, you shut the door behind you, now all you have is what's in front of you. Right? And if you decide that you're going to look back, all you're going to see is a wall and a closed door. And so what a new beginning does is it forces you to look at what's ahead of you, and it forces you to stop looking back, because every time you look back, all you see is a blank wall, right? That's what a new beginning does for a church. That's what we've seen since Corey and them have gotten here, right? We've seen this new beginning of God moving us and helping us to see forward and see to the future. God is a God of new beginnings, and what new beginnings do is it helps force us to look forward, and it helps force us to stop looking back. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 says this, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come." God is a God of new beginnings. Isaiah 43:18-19 says this, "Remember not the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I am doing a new thing." God is a God of new beginnings. Ephesians 4, verses 22 through 24 says this, to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. God has a desire to make all things new. He is a God of new beginnings. Ezekiel 36, 26 says this, and I will give you a new heart and a new spirit I will put in within you, and I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. God is in the business of making old things new. That's what God does. That's what he does. Revelations 21, 4 and 5. This is the last verse here. Revelations 21, 4 and 5 says this, he will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. And he who was seated on the throne said, behold, I am making all things new. Do you see that there is this idea within Scripture of the new? God has a desire to take the old and make it new. Whenever you take a piece of furniture that's all old and messed up, and you can resurface it and you can repurpose it, that's what God does with our lives. And that should be encouraging for you and for me. If you walked in here today and you said, man, I'm just old, beat up, and there's nothing I can offer God, and he says, well, hey, that's when you're the best. Because that's what I'm about. That's what I'm in the business of, taking old and making new. And not only that, but maybe you have a past. God is not the God of the past. He's the God of the future, and he does not desire for you to live in the past. He desires for you to stop what you're doing and to move forward. Did you know that every day is a beginning, and every day gives you the opportunity to start over? That's what I love about new days. That's what I love about new year. I love the new year, January 1st, because it gives me the opportunity to make my New Year's resolution all over again, right? And I get to say, okay, this year I really mean it. Have you ever made a New Year's resolution and you really meant it, and then a couple days later you didn't mean it anymore? I mean, that's life. That's what we do. But God gives us an opportunity every morning to get up and say, okay, God, yesterday I messed up a little bit, but today I'm starting new. Today I'm giving you this day. This is a new day. What's that? There's a movie. Right? Chicken Little. Today is a new day. Right? And that's what God does for us. That's what God gives us the opportunity to do. He is making all things new. There's just something to be said about new beginnings. And the truth is, I'm excited about this new beginning. I'm excited about this new beginning for my family. This is going to be an incredible new beginning for us as a family. We just got to go just yesterday over to Granbury and look at one of the houses that we're under contract and hopefully we'll be able to move into April 1st. We'll see. As long as all the plans go well, we're going to be doing that. And so it was really exciting to be able to see all the things that we are going to be able to do with my family. And you're sitting there saying, well, of course you're excited. You're not the one losing anyone, right? Well, the truth is, you're not losing me any more than I'm losing you, you see? But I'm just as excited about this new beginning for you as I am for me. Why? Is it because I was a terrible person and you guys are going to get so much better? Well, partly, right? But the truth is, I understand the principle of new beginnings. I understand the principle of new beginnings. God is in the business of new beginnings. Ecclesiastes, the book of Ecclesiastes, the writer says there's a time for everything under the heaven. There's the time to mourn and the time to dance, all these other things. There's a time for everything. And then he says this. He says that God makes everything beautiful in its time. And I cannot help but believe that God is going to make something beautiful in this time in the history of Grandview, Texas. God is a God of new beginnings. That's how he operates. And he will never leave things old. He will always make things new. So like I said before, new beginnings always force us to look forward. New beginnings force us to stop looking back, stop looking in the past. Have you ever met somebody who just cannot live anywhere but the past? They can't help but look in the past. They never can look forward. Every time you talk to them, they always talk about how great things used to be. Right? Have you ever been to a movie and you watched a movie and it was a great movie and then it looked like it's coming to an end and then all of a sudden, boom, it starts back up again and you begin to think to yourself, wow, this is a really good movie, but how long is this ending? Right? I went to a Michael W. Smith concert many years ago and whenever I was sitting there, he introduced a new song to us. And I don't remember the name of the song, but the chorus went like this. how long to sing this song, something like that, okay? And he did it a lot better than I did. It was a great song at first, but then midway through it, I'm sitting there thinking, Michael, how long are you going to sing this song, right? It was just one of those songs, and I was like, okay, the song is over. This has been a long ending. If we are not careful, church, if we are not careful, we will live in the endings and never in the beginnings. Did you realize that? If we're not careful, we will worship the past and never embrace the future because we will live in the endings and not in the beginnings. But that's not where God wants us to live. Stop living in the past and stop living for the future. New beginnings force us to look forward, and new beginnings force us to stop looking back. And lastly, new beginnings always offer the opportunity, not the guarantee, but the opportunity for growth. The truth is, every mountaintop experience begins in the valley. Every mountaintop experience begins in the valley. The mountain has to start somewhere, doesn't it? There's a beginning to the mountain. And every mountaintop experience starts in the valley. Did you realize that there is a new beginning even for the mountaintop? So just think about that. Every time we start a new beginning, that gives us the opportunity to look and say, man, there is a mountaintop experience right around the corner. All we have to do is embrace the new beginning. It always offers the opportunity for growth. But for growth to occur, the environment has to be healthy, doesn't it? When you think about planting, and a lot of you guys are really good with gardening. I've never been good with gardening, but I'm decent with grass. And I understand that the soil's got to be good. The environment has to be good. There's got to be moisture. There's got to be rain. There's got to be some weed and feed going out there every now and again, right? You got to pluck up the weeds and get that out so that the grass is looking good. For growth to occur, there has to be the environment that's right. Like a tree that's planted by stream is not afraid of the heat because it's got the moisture there. So it is with the church, not afraid with the heat, as long as we're connected to Jesus. When the environment is right, when we are connected to Jesus, then it produces this environment that is so enriching that growth will naturally happen. John chapter 15, verse 5, Jesus says this, I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. In other words, Jesus is saying, you stay connected with me and I stay connected with you, then the environment will be right for growth. For growth to occur, the environment has to be right. And when the environment is right, the fruit happens naturally. You don't have to work at it. It just happens. And this is why I love the vision of this church. We are a community connecting to Jesus. Now, if we are really about that, if that's what we are really about, then we are prime for growth. Growth will happen naturally. So do you want to hear a secret? Do you want to know how you can make an already healthy environment even more healthy? Do you want to know how you can throw some fertilizer on an already healthy environment like this? If we stay connected with Jesus and then we throw some fertilizer like what I'm about to share with you on the already healthy environment, then we would be prime for growth. And the new beginning would just bring nothing but growth. The truth is this, God used words to create everything that we see. The environments that we are experiencing now, God used words. God used words to create everything, and we too create environments with our words. With our words, we create positive environments, and with our words, we create negative environments. With our words, we tear down, and with our words, we build up. With our words, we encourage, and with our words, we discourage. So, words matter to God. Use them wisely. Words matter to God. Use them wisely. In fact, words matter so much to God that He gave us many proverbs for us to glean wisdom from as we use our words. So listen to some of these proverbs and maybe write them down so that you can mark them. I've got them underlined and highlighted in my Bible so that I can look back at them from time to time just to remind myself of how important words are to God. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 21 says this, "The lips of the righteous nourish many, but fools die for lack of judgment." Did you realize that your words can be nourishment to the ground here in Grandview, Texas? Your words can be nourishment to somebody when you speak them positively. That talk about throwing some fertilizer on an already healthy environment, using your words to bring nourishment. Proverbs 12:18 says this, "Reckless words pierce like a sword, but the tongue of the wise brings healing." Did you realize that your words could actually be a medicine for somebody who's hurting, for somebody who's wounded, for somebody who's struggling? Your words could actually bring healing. It could be medicine to that person. That's fertilizer. Proverbs 15:1 says, "A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger." A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. And just a few verses later in the same chapter says this in verse 4, "The tongue that brings healing is a tree of life, but a deceitful tongue crushes the spirit." Did you realize that your words can bring healing to any person in any situation? You're in a bad situation right now? Use positive words, and that will bring healing to any situation. And then this is the last one. Proverbs 16:23-24 says this. I love this. "A wise man's heart guides his mouth." Now that reminds me of what Jesus says when he says, "Out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks." Right? But here it says, "A wise man's heart guides his mouth, and his lips promote instruction." Here it is. "Pleasant words are a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the bones." Can you taste it? Have you ever taken, I don't like this, but I've heard that it's really good. You take honey and you spread it on a biscuit, and then you just, and it's just overflowing with honey on that biscuit, and then you take a bite of that hot biscuit with butter and honey all over it. Is that making you hungry just thinking about it right now? I mean, can you just taste that? That's what your words can do. How marvelous are words spoken in love, more marvelous than all the stars above. How precious are words spoken with care, so precious these words are my wounds repair. Did you realize that your words can actually repair the wounds of somebody who's hurting? Let's choose to use our words wisely, because words matter to God. Do you want a healthy environment for growth to occur here in Grandview? Stay connected to Jesus. Do you want to throw some fertilizer on the already healthy environment? Use words to heal, not to kill. And the truth is, we are in a new beginning. But that's okay, because God created new beginnings. New beginnings force us to look forward. New beginnings force us to stop looking back. And lastly, new beginnings always offer the opportunity for growth to occur. The 90s rock band, Semisonic. How many of you guys know that band? Hey, a couple people actually. Good job. All right. The 90s rock band, Semisonic, said it best in their song Closing Time. They had a line in that song, and this is how it goes. "Every new beginning comes from some other beginning's end." Every new beginning comes from some other beginning's end. And so today, you are witnessing the end of Kathy and the end of my ministry here at First Baptist Church. But it has to end. It has to end for the new beginning to truly begin. Amen? And so I want to just leave you with these words. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord's face shine upon you and be gracious to you. And may the Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. And then lastly, as Paul would end his messages, the grace of our Lord Jesus be with you. Amen? Let me pray with you guys, and then we're just going to go into a time of invitation. God, we love you. We thank you so much for this season that we are experiencing right now. We thank you for the past, and we never want to disrespect the past, and that's not what the message was about. You honor the past, but God, we don't want to live in the past. And so, God, I just pray a special blessing over First Baptist Grandview right now, that as we move out of the past and move into a new season of ministry here, that you will bless it and you will help us all to embrace this new season, that you will bless the people that are coming. You bless Amy Curry as she comes and begins her ministry here in Grandview, God, that you'll give her a fresh start, and you'll give First Baptist a fresh start with her. I pray for the person that will take my place eventually. I pray for that person right now that you begin to work on their heart, and as they come, that they will be embraced and they will be loved more than I was here, and I was loved a lot. And so I just pray that you bless the student ministry and the future that it has here in Grandview. And God, I just pray that you help us to look at this, and yeah, maybe there's some sadness because of this new season, because nobody likes change, But at the same time, I pray that you would give us an encouragement, and you just encourage us to say, golly, look at what is about to happen, because this new beginning always is going to bring growth if we allow it to. So God, will you come and get us right in our hearts during this new season? Help us to recognize that if we stay connected with you, and if we use positive words to fertilize that environment, that you can do great things here in Grandview. I love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You guys can be standing.